Okay, I'm here with Andy Robertshaw, the author, broadcaster and curator of the Royal Logistics Corps Museum in Deepcote. And I just wanted to talk to Andy and ask him a few questions about preserving the heritage of Deepcote, because obviously Deepcote has been the main topic of conversation in the borough recently.
Yeah.
And I listened to Andy. In fact, we appeared on the same breakfast show, on the BBC Surrey breakfast show a few months ago, talking about Deepcote. And Andy, you talked about preserving the heritage of Deepcote, with the RLC and the army moving out of Deepcote shortly. You know, you're keen to preserve the history and the heritage. What I wanted to ask you was, is you know, what you would in particular like to see preserved.
I mean, if the Corps, the RLC, leaves this area and goes possibly to Worthy Down or wherever else, the great danger is that the 100 years of history will be lost. It's very, very easy to sort of turn the training areas over to natural history, to knock down the barracks and the buildings and all the storage sheds and say, well, that's it. Well, actually, of course, what we've got here are things like St. Barbara's Church, which was originally the Church of the Royal Army Ordnance Corps, now the Church of the RLC. There are burials of there of significant and not so important members of the Corps and their families dating back to 1905. And at the same time, there are names associated with the area. I was thinking on my way in this morning as I drove past the end of Dalton Court, I wonder how many people know now on the housing estate, which was built on the old barracks. This deals with, in fact, with Acting Commissary Dalton, who served at Rorke's Drift and got a VC for his activities in 1879. Again, you could say, well, it doesn't really matter. We've got to move forward. But with such a legacy of military history and service, there will be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men and women who came through this area, did their military service and went on, and coming back to find everything has been swept away will be disappointed. And the great danger is that people that come and live here have no recognition of what went on, what really are the activities that went on in this area.
Have you any ideas on how we might be able to preserve that heritage? I mean, so you've mentioned Dalton Court there, which is obviously named after a famous soldier. Yeah. Is there anything else you think that we could do to help preserve the heritage?
Well, I've been looking around at the sort of the built heritage, as they call it these days, and I've come across, for example, some signs, one relating to a shop, which actually refers to the Battle of Mons. And there are little tantalising glimpses that may just remain, unless, though, we're careful, that can go in an instant. Something like that one could go into a skipper on a bonfire and it's gone. I think that the main thing would be we've got the route of the railway. We've got the fact that actually that here you've got, once the fences are gone, an area that people can roam around. If that was marked in some way, then that would be helpful. And I'm not necessarily thinking in terms of some great sort of panels up which are easily damaged and they soon rot away, but actually doing what we're doing now, having a bank, if you like, of podcasts and guided tours, so people can make their own way around it. You don't have to be guided around. And technology these days means that you could probably download something from a central point and go for a walk around and find out more about the history of the Royal Army Ordnance Corps, the prisoner of war camp from the First World War, the anti-aircraft gun battery in the Second World War, at the site of the mine explosion in October 1916. To be perfectly honest, even though the army's here now, nobody would know that was here, and yet it's perfectly possible to see it in the landscape. So people could take those tours around. But that needs to be prepared now, rather than leaving it till it's too late and then trying to go back and scrabbling around trying to preserve heritage that's already been lost.
I think that's a really good idea. So what you're saying then is that now we could do walking tours. You could record, like we're doing now, a podcast that people could download in years to come, and take the walking tour themselves while listening to the podcast.
Yes, and also what a people,
great idea.
Yeah,
great idea.
But people could also come back who were veterans or even serving now and say what it meant to them. What was it like here? Because obviously, in 100 years' time, I mean, we're all not going to be around to talk about it. But actually, being able to realise that it was relevant, that things happened here that were significant, and that, that men and women today in 2011, you know, are leaving this area to go off to Afghanistan to serve and come back, and we don't see that end of their service. We actually, because there's wire up, don't see this end of their service. But that idea of making those connections and then being able to make the same connections. This museum is in Newfoundland Road because in 1915, the Newfoundland regiments, having come all the way from St. John's across the Atlantic, camped in the fields around what was then an open area before the museum and the barracks. And yet, I don't think, you know, one person in 1,000 knows that those Newfoundlanders, who were not at the time, by the way, Canadians, many of whom were to pay the ultimate sacrifice because they were, the whole battalion was shot to pieces 3 times on the Western Front, were here.
Also, is there any buildings or monuments or anything that's here now that you would like to see?
In terms of buildings that are currently here, particularly the ones outside the wire, as they put it, so ones that you can visit now, I think the building that says so much is in fact St. Barbara's Church, the so-called Tin Tabernacle. It was put up to be a temporary structure. It was never meant to be permanent, but it's still here well over 100 years after it was built. That church has got really the heritage of people who served in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps and now in the RLC, the Royal Logistic Corps, since 1993. And one of the things that interests me is that in the foyer or the entrance to the church is a brass commemorative plaque to those members of the Royal Army Ordnance Corps who died in the First World War. And although we've got a list of names, nobody has any details about them, and it would be that kind of work that could be done now to find out about those people, find out where they served, why they did, how they died, what were they doing, what were their ranks, would mean actually that people in the future that came in to look at the church or use the church perhaps as meeting space or other things would have a better understanding. And that building is full of what is now known as heritage. It's history. It simply is full of that history, and that cannot be lost.